The time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. It's just beautiful out there. 63 degrees, no wind to speak of, 3 mile an hour out of the south-southeast. The humidity is very low, so we have fire weather watch till 7 p.m. tomorrow evening. I'm sure we're going to be in a warning tomorrow with a gust of winds up 30, 35 miles an hour tomorrow afternoon. But anyway, if you got some logs smoldering out there, something going on, get it put out today because this is fire weather coming up on us. It's here. So anyway, hope everybody had a great weekend and happy Valentine's to all you wonderful, beautiful women out there today. And so I'm going to do my grain reports next segment. I'm going to get some agriculture romance going on right now on the radio. But when you have a list of things that describes your average farmer, you're more likely to say hardworking, determined, and maybe stubborn. But romantic? Nah. Love on the farm may not be written like the traditional storybook, but when it comes from the heart, it doesn't matter if those feelings are expressed in a fancy restaurant or in the middle of a dairy parlor. Some of our readers share their most romantic moments on the farm, and I'm going to read them to you. This is from Ashley. She says, "When we were living a long distance apart, he would text me pictures of wildflowers." Years ago, this is from Mary, years ago he was plowing and turned up a rock in the shape of a heart, and he brought it home, and I still have it. On our first Valentine's Day together, I woke up to a heart made of baling wire and red silk roses on the barn. I about crumbled. I was so touched, according to Don. He would also stop and pick up me some flowers he saw blooming alongside our road. When we realized it was illegal to pick them, they were trillium flowers. He transplanted some by our house so I could still have some close, according to Lisa. My husband bought me a cold drink with lunch to the hayfield just so he could give me a hug and tell me he was proud of me for all the hard work I was doing, according to Lonnie. He cleans my windows on my tractor every morning during harvest, according to Kim. Well, how romantic's that? Anyway, if we are near each other during milking and a slow song is on the radio, he will stop and dance with me, according to Kathy B. He programs the coffee pot every night, so it's already brewed and hot for me in the morning, according to Jessica. He was out cutting brush, and one of these trees he cut looked like a heart, so he took a photo of it and sent it to me. I love you, according to Lindy. My husband knows I love to garden, but we never have enough water. We recently installed a new reservoir in center pivot. He plowed up a small corner close to the water line so I could have my garden. For Valentine's Day, my husband hot glued a bunch of milk replacer cups and containers together to make a flower. Oh, how sweet. And that was from Kendra. Well, practical gifts can show love. For Valentine's Day last year, my husband put an automatic gate opener on our calving corral because I had to shut that gate upwards to 8 times a night. It was the most wonderful gift ever. I got a 16 row planter for Valentine's Day. This was a gift of the time since it was an upgrade from the 8 row I had, and I do most of the planting. Also, I was thrilled when he ordered an automatic chicken waterer for me. He knew how much I disliked hauling water every day. I kept asking my husband to get doorknobs and latches for our Dutch doors on my barn, but he kept forgetting. He surprised me with a set he welded himself in the shape of my initials, Sarah T. From Sherry, He bought me a step that mounted on the tractor so I didn't have to get a ladder to wash the windows. To smooth things over, there was an anniversary ring underneath it. For our first anniversary, he built me 4 poultry broiler houses, which allowed me to quit my job, town job, and work on the farm with him. He got me a laminate support beam for the house with a note, "I will always support you in everything." And that's from Tacy. My husband built me a new milk stand for Mother's Day and wrote, "I love you" on the side of it with screws. My financee is a hardcore Holstein breeder, but he gave me a Jersey heifer because that breed is my favorite. He proposed to me 2 days later on my birthday. The ring was on a string tied around my calf's neck. He made me walk a half a mile in 3-foot snowdrifts. His excuse was that we had to release the tension on the fence so it wouldn't break. In reality, he wanted to propose where we could see the whole farm and our future. That was from Kellyanne. I was a nutritionist for my hobby's farm before we married. He said I needed to come shake out the TMR. There was a rattle inside, and it was a ring box. My husband proposed at a rodeo. He made an awesome ride on his bronc, jumped off, borrowed the clown's mic, got down on one knee, and popped the question right in the middle of the arena. We went out to check cows one night, and he got down on one knee in the middle of the herd and asked me to be his wife. And that was from Kelly. Well, that's just all kinds of romance on the farm. I mean, how does it not get any better than that? Well, anyway, I hope everybody has a happy Valentine's Day. And, oh, how could I forget? My wife sent me my Valentine's deal. She said, "Happy Valentine's Day. I scooped your poop for you. Here's your gift. It will be in the pasture. And the picture is a shovel full of dog poop from picking up poop in the backyard at our house." So, I mean, you never know what you're going to get on the farm or the ranch. So, anyway, it's all good. Well, when I get back, I'm going to talk about the grain reports. And I traveled Friday afternoon with a good friend of mine from Roger Mills County down to the Bradley 3 Ranch in Texas to a seminar and bull sale on Friday afternoon. I want to tell you about it. And then I want to tell you about the gentleman from Texas A&M, the professor that spoke down there for about an hour, hour and a half about reproduction with cattle. Interesting stuff, and hopefully one of these days he will come on the show. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
My background is in AI service. If you're doing that, you're more progressive. You're not going to the sale barn and buying a bull for the cheapest you can get. You're searching for better genetics. You're searching for a better quality product. Just like, do you go down to the used car store and buy the car with all the dents and dings, or do you want the new car? We decided we'd start building our own pretty vehicles rather than going paying the price for the pretty vehicle. B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Better beef bulls at an affordable price. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 5th at the Clinton Livestock Auction at 12:30 p.m. They're feed efficiency tested on GrowSafe system. More than 50% of the bulls are suitable for heifers. There's data for DNA, data for birth, weaning, and yearlings, and there's ultrasound data. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 5th at 12:30 at the Clinton Livestock Auction. Get information online at davisangus.com or go to Facebook and search Davis Angus.
Mine Money Tracker is a function on our mobile banking app. We started with a template, but it really was in the hands of First National to customize the app to be what it wants to be. As more things come out, as reality changes, as the world changes, the app will constantly be updated with new functionalities so that budgeting can still be made easy and can still be right at your fingertips, because that's our goal at First National, is to give you access to your money at all times.
I'm Kelsey Werner, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City.
Member FDIC.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
63 degrees. Winds still out of the south, 5 miles an hour, and gusting up to hurricane strength, 9 miles an hour. But speaking of hurricane strength, tomorrow it's going to be rough out there. So everybody get everything prepared today, because it's going to be not supposed to be too bad in the morning, but I'll have that Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up to you later on in the show. Meanwhile, we are streaming live on Facebook with the Today in Ag Show, also on KECOFM.com, streaming live there, and we got it going on. Paragon Communications Group here, everybody. We're just getting things better here. We're just making things better here, and it's working. I know this for a fact because I heard some stuff this morning on the radio that was just awesome. Anyway, so everything's going good on the Today in Ag Show. Appreciate everybody listening. Matter of fact, today is Ed Carter Day on my radio. That's Dr. Mouse's uncle and Christy's brother. Anyway, he likes to act like he's back on the streets with his hats. So I got his flat bill Circle M hat on today and got it crooked just a little bit. The bill's over my right eye instead of square. So if you get on Facebook on our website, you can see that I'm looking like, not looking, but acting like Ed Carter today with my flat bill hat that they gave me. So anyway, pretty cool. Well, we got all kinds of things going on in the world. So as of cash prices, as of an hour ago or 11 a.m. in Oklahoma, hard red winter wheat is $7.83. Corn is $6.57. Milo is $6.50. Soybeans are down to $14.97. Cotton just rock steady. $1.25 a pound. And I got some stuff I'll touch with you a little bit just today. I got some more stuff tomorrow after Lacey on the Cotton Council meeting that they had down in Houston last week. Lots of things come out of there. Some good, some not so good. So we'll see how things are going. Soybean futures plunged in overnight trading as the early harvest rolls on in parts of South America. Growers in Brazil had collected about 27% of their soybeans as of Friday, according to their weather guys down there. Well ahead of the 7.1% that was harvested at the same time last year. Yields this far have been strong. So all this stuff I've been reporting to you in the last couple of months that their crops suck must have been a lie. The harvest in Brazil, the world's largest exporter of oil seeds, likely will crimp demand for U.S. supplies. Still, here we go. Projections for the South America's country crop has been coming down in recent weeks, but just got to read between the lines, I guess. The U.S. Department of Agriculture said last week it now expects Brazilian production at 134 million metric tons, down from the previous outlook of 139 million tons. Brazil Ag Rule said on January 31st, it sees outputs of 128.5 million metric tons, down from their previous forecast of 133.4 million metric tons. So basically, sounds like our USDA up here knows more about what's going on in Brazil. So who knows what's going to go on? I guess when harvest is over, we will see for sure what's going on. For now, at least demand for U.S. supplies remains strong. Exporters on Friday reported sales of 108,000 metric tons to China in the 22-23 marketing year, 128,000 metric tons of corn to Japan, and 30,000 tons of soybean oil, both in the current marketing year. That marked the 11th straight day the USDA has reported sales of 100,000 metric tons of more U.S. ag products to overseas buyers. Soybean futures for March delivery dropped 26.5 cents to $15.56 a bushel on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was down $9.60 to $447 a short ton, and soybean oil futures lost 0.27 cents to 65.45 cents a pound. Corn futures for March delivery fell 4.25 to $6.46 a bushel. Wheat for March delivery rose 2 cents to $7.99¾ a bushel, while Kansas City futures rose 3¾ to $8.28 a bushel. Well, investors reduced their net long position, or is what I call it, bets on higher prices, in corn futures to the lowest level in 3 weeks, while also turning less bullish on wheat, according to the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Money managers held a net 334,450 corn future contracts in 7 days that ended on February 8th. That's down from 368,000 contracts the previous week and the lowest since January 18th. Spectators held a 34,038 hard red winter wheat contracts last week, and that's down from 37,000 the week before, and the smallest such position in 3 weeks, according to the government data. In soft red winter wheat, investors held a net short position on bets on lower prices of 31,969 future contracts last week, and that's up from 29,130 contracts a week earlier. That's the largest bearish position since July of 2020. Soybeans bucked the trend as spectators were more bullish last week. Hedge funds and other large investors held a net 164,336 soybean future contracts as of February 8th. That's up from 149,000 a week earlier. This is also the largest such position since May 11th. There you have it. Well, let's see how the rest of the weather forecast looks for the rest of the country. Well, of course, here we are right at the top of the list. Fire weather watches have been issued for much of the U.S. Southern Plains due to extremely dry weather, according to the National Weather Service. Winds are expected to be sustained from 20 to 30 miles an hour with gusts up to 40 miles an hour, according to the National Weather Service in a report earlier this morning. Humidity is forecast to be as low as 8%. That's dry. The watches will be in effect from noon today, as is about 24 minutes ago, till 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. In north central Kansas, winds will top out at 35 miles an hour, while humidity will be between 15 and 22%. Any fires that ignite may spread rapidly and inhabit extreme fire behavior. Use extreme caution in engaging in activities that could lead to fire ignition. So as you'll hear me say, check those trailer chains, check anything else, check your bearings, do anything you can to prevent fires. And no use burning the trash today or tomorrow. Just hold off until this thing gets past us, because it looks like we might have some wetter weather coming later this week. Who knows? We got all kinds of things going on. Well, we got, let me get back here. Speaking of fire, as of right now in our listening area, we got all of Texas Panhandle, except for basically Wheeler and Hemp Hill and a couple of those counties, basically our listening area, on the Texas Panhandle side are not in a burn ban. The rest of the Texas Panhandle is in a burn ban. On the Oklahoma side, Ellis County, Roger Mills, Beckham, Harmon, and Ouachita counties are the only counties west of I-35 that are not in a burn ban. Way down southwest there, north of Wichita Falls, Cotton County is not in a burn ban. But those ones in our listening area right here, we're not in a burn ban, but please use common sense. We haven't had any rain in 4 months. There's no use in even burning any pastures off right now because we don't even know if it's going to grow back, get any rain, because we are in a drought. So anyway, you guys just use your head out there and be cool and use some common sense on that. When I come back, we're going to talk about all these bull sales, the one I went to or one I went down there and looked at the bulls. I didn't actually go to the sale, but I want to tell you about how they got their bull sale set up for so it doesn't stress the bulls and so much and somebody doesn't get ran over like Jimmy Clark with a bull in the way. But we'll talk about that, and we got all kinds of good things going on today. So it's going by fast already. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January 28th. 879 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 455 brought 215. 14 at 573 brought 184. 3 at 632 brought 153. 54 at 698 brought 163.25. 9 at 753 brought 147. 7 head of heifers at 326 brought 169. 9 at 449 brought 155. 11 at 525 brought 149. 3 at 543 brought 155. 29 at 662 brought 152.50. Butcher cows were 25 to 84, butcher bulls 75 to 107.50, bred cows 500 to 1385, pairs brought 525 to 1435. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Back. Hey, February 28th. I told you a couple times since August 31st, but February 28th is the last day to register your brand in Texas. So get it done. The state of Texas requires all brands to be re-registered in the counties in which the rancher operates. Next month, the re-registration period begins. And so anyway, but it's been going on since August 31st of last year, and it ends here in just a few weeks, 2 weeks from today, actually. If the brand is not claimed by the deadline, it will become available to the public. All brands, regardless of original registration date, must be re-registered within the county clerk in that county or where the livestock resides to be considered legal means of ownership. So anyway, keep good brand records, and you know, it's that time of the year, these fall calves that was born last fall. We're getting them all worked up and weaning them, all kinds of stuff. So everybody, let's go Brandon. You want to? Let's go Brandon. Get them brands on them cattle. Anyway, so I took a little road trip Friday after the show. went down to Texas there and went down to south of Wellington and back west there a little bit to the Bradley 3 Ranch. And down there, they had their big bull sale, Charley's and Angus, Saturday. But we went down there to look at the bulls, some of the bulls down there, and they had a guest speaker there, Dr. Kai Poehler, from Texas A&M. And his big deal is that he talked about was technology helping to find answers to beef pregnancy loss. And he's in big time. He was telling us about some of the stuff they had going on. So his research focuses on understanding the mechanisms that control reproductive efficiency in cattle. He's very interesting to listen to, and I sent him an email, and hopefully I can get him to come on the show next month, because it is that time of the year, starting in April and May and June, where we're all getting those cows rebred from having these calves this winter. So anyway, first thing come out of his mouth when he started talking about, he thinks that the main thing to getting your cows all rebred, the biggest part, not the only thing, but the biggest part is synchronized, getting them synchronized. And that doesn't matter whether it's with bulls or if your AI program is, but getting them synchronized. And I know you guys have heard me talk a little bit about what I did with these heifers that I'm calving out right now. And oh, by the way, everything was hunky-dory this weekend. I had three or four. Matter of fact, one last night went into labor about 20 minutes for the Super Bowl started, which is not no big deal. I'm not a huge NFL fan, but I just wanted to see LA and Cincinnati play for a reason, but it didn't happen. She went into labor, and she didn't go into labor. She was acting like it. And then about 8 o'clock, she finally laid down and started pushing. Her water showed 8:38. I had a baby girl on the ground. So mom and daughter, all good. Matter of fact, right before the show, I unloaded a semi-load of Plains Blue Stem hay and tagged them and sent them out into the cow-calf pasture, and everybody's happy. So he was talking about this synchronizing, and here's what I did with these 35 heifers. On May 4th, I put a seeder in and gave a shot of Sisterella. On May 12th, I pulled the cedars, gave them a shot, put them in heat, turned four bulls in with them, 35 heifers, four bulls, 35 heifers. On May 18th, I pulled three of the four bulls. On June 7th, pulled the last bull. On July 21st, Dr. Mouse come out and preg check. We had 29 of 35 bred. And yes, I could have left that bull in there, or got one of my bulls and left in there and probably got these other six bred, but this is an experiment. So basically in 30 days, we got 29 of them, of the 35 bred. On the calving part, they started calving February 1st. First calf was on the ground. And as of today, February 14th, 2 weeks into this, 20 of the 29 that were bred are on the ground. And five more of those nine that I lack, or eight, I actually like eight being done, is, looks like five, maybe six of them will all be done in the next two or three days. I mean, they're really heavy. And so, according to what I'm seeing, the four bulls, when they were together, they looked like they got a lot of the breeding done. The one bull left in there for the cycle 21 days later after this heat, looks like he might have got one or two of them, but for the most part, they were all bred in that first 4 days of cycle. And what else is unique, and I don't know if this has got anything to do it, because I know the bull determines the sex of the calf, but out of the 20 that are on the ground right now, 15 are bulls and 5 are heifers, and I'm not complaining. So that's what we did with this, and everybody asked, why are you doing this? Well, a few reasons, and if I get the Dr. Poehler on here, he will explain in a lot better details than I can, because there's scientific words out there that probably only our vets understand, but he explained it. He was really good. Number one, I wanted to see how efficient it was to synchronize your calves or your heifers or your cows, either one, to get them prepped like you were going to AI them, but instead of AI them, put the bulls out there. And it looks like it worked wonderful. I'm gonna be done calving in less than 3 weeks instead of this stringing out over 2 months or 3 months or however you 64 days or whatever, however many cycles you go. That's a blessing. Yeah, I'm paying for it in these first couple of weeks. I'm not home much, but that's okay. It's worth it. I don't have to worry about it after the rest of these calves are gone. So anyway, that's what I was trying to do, and that's why I was doing it. But on to these bulls that we went and looked at. Jimmy and I, we picked some bulls. And, you know, the information, a lot of you probably already understand this, and I'm gaining knowledge on this deal, but... You know, we went in there and looked at these Angus bulls, and all these bulls out here on that Bradley 3 ranch, grass-fed. They have really high-powered grass out there, and everything is grass-fed. These bulls are not just big and fat and been on grain. They're when they come to the, as I was explained to, when they go, you put them loose with their cows, they're ready to go. They don't have fat to burn. They're not out of shape. These things are just ready to go. But we was going through there looking at some of all this stuff that they got on these charts now, the cavities, this ED, the birth weight, EPDs, the weaning weight, the yearling weight, the cow energy value, carcass weight, marbling, the ribeye, the fatness. Man, I'm learning. Like I said, most of you guys probably already go by these charts. So I went over to one of the bullpens, and I picked out what I thought was the best bull out of about 20 that were in that bullpen that I thought I would like to have. And, of course, I looked on these charts that they got, and I suck at picking bulls out. And I'm going to go over that with you here right now, because... You know what it is? It's bull market year. It's time. You guys know we got bull sales going left and right. We got some good ones. We got the Davis Angus coming up. We got Quartermaster coming up. We just had the Roger Mills. We just had this Bradley three ranch deal. So they're all kinds of going. But bull sale season is officially underway across the country. And early reports certainly indicate the demand is high. And it is. You know, by the way, the... three or four bulls that we picked out down there were their high sellers. So away from that one pen that I was picking, the one that I kind of sucked at anyway. But anyway, demand is high regardless of what zip code the sale is. Some might say this defies logic since grain prices are high and the cattle market has been subpar for quite some time. But if some of you paid attention to Dr. Peel on my show here about 4 months ago, he said after the first of the year, was we got into February, that the market was going to rise. And guess what? I don't know if you guys have been paying any attention to these sale barn prices, but cattle are up. They're up nicely. However, there are a number of factors to consider. Some follow traditional buying behavior. Others may be completely new influencers on the final gavel price of bulls this spring. It's no secret that the drought has gripped the western United States, covering a tremendous amount of real estate that predominantly is cow country. A common management technique during drought is to pull the bulls and get them off the feed bill. The next step will be to cull the late bred or open cows if drought continued. It did. Regardless, the bull battery necessary to cover the remaining herd has to be purchased. As a result, bull demand in the drought-stricken areas of the United States remains strong so far. For producers in the Corn Belt, the market influence may be entirely different. When grain prices are strong, many producers decide to stimulate the local economy by reinvesting dollars into their beef cattle enterprise. The beauty of an auction often is pinning two competitive farmers that don't, in my book, don't like each other, or they think on they live on that side of town with a white picket fence, and over here on this other one they got a pipe fence that ain't been painted in 2 years, so they're going to see who can outbid each other. It goes on all the time. I've seen it, swear. Recent strength in the Fed cattle market may be creating some optimism moving forward, generating a couple extra head nods at a bull sale locally. And it's true. The Roger Mills, the Western Oklahoma bull sale at Roger Mills County, they averaged $300 per head higher than they did last year. So there's something going on out there. The producers at a disadvantage, obviously, are those purchasing feed but not selling calves until next fall. That being said, preparing to buy your next herd sire should have the same approach. Regardless of the scenario above, the best describes your current situation. The following steps may help you stretch your dollar for the next bulls you turn out. And I just read this. It's not totally my opinion. I don't agree with everything I read, but I keep it to myself. Farmers are creatures of habit. Breaking tendencies during a bull sale can be difficult, especially if you are easily drawn to a certain kind of cattle. For example, a producer can acknowledge that their cows are too big, yet still end up chasing that big, stout growth bulls in the sale. With prolonged high feed prices, these genetics can heighten the financial challenges faced by an operation. Embrace technology. The number of boxes, columns, and rows of information available on a bull can be daunting, and I will agree with that, but I am learning. I'm going to take the time to learn each one of these little boxes in that big scale box, because there's information technology out there now for ranchers and farmers for their cattle is crazy stupid, and it's just going to, you're crazy not to pay attention to it, because it'll make your operation more profitable. Because our number one goal as being cattlemen, as far as I'm concerned, is at the end of the line when that consumer's taking that knife and cutting that piece of steak and then with eating it with a smile on their face. So we need to make sure that our customers are happy. Breed associations have worked hard to create simpler tools for bull buyers to use. Indexes. The easy thing to remember is to keep in mind that some indexes are largely output driven. If you're willing to put in time to learn and understand new feed efficiency technology, the cost savings can be immense. There's dry matter intake, residue average daily gain, residual feed intake, feed conversion ratio, cost of gain, and just plain old feed efficiency, amongst others. Step number three, a bull sale that advertises a lot of feedlot performance and carcass merit genetics may not be the event you should attend, especially if your operation needs moderate milk, decreased cow size, and concentrate on cow longevity. Likewise, other way around, the bull sale catalog that does offer you what you may not need in the stack by your easy chair, some additional office time scrolling through online sales offering may be warranted. At any rate, stick to the plan. More importantly, stick to the short list of bulls in your criteria. Finally, don't be afraid to ask for help. We have all kinds of, there's people in our area, in our listening area, that are very knowledgeable about this stuff. These guys putting on these sales right now, Jim and Debbie Davis and Schweitzer and all those guys that had their bulls up there at Cheyenne there's people all over the place. They can help you understand, or just get on OSU's website or Texas A&M's website. There's too many people out there that can help you. Instead of guessing, do it right. And because there's not a whole lot of room for error nowadays in the cattle market. So just because you like that Black Angus bull in pen number three doesn't mean that that Black Angus bull in pen number six might not be the better one. So just because you look at it and you think you know what you're looking at, well, better check them boxes out. because if I get some calves from you and them ribeyes ain't as big as they're supposed to be, I mean, you's going to have a talk about it. That's what it'll tell you. And all this technology, these DNA tests, it's awesome what's going on. Well, anyway, I have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast coming up for you here after this break. I also have results from the Hobart Stockyards goat and sheep sale Saturday, and oh my, it was huge. Over 1,000 head was down there, and I was looking at some of them prices. One of my pastures might be starting to get some goats in it. I don't know. It's crazy what they are selling for. And I got lots more to cover. There's just not enough time in my show to do all this. So it's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, February the 8th, we sold 111 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, February the 10th, we sold 5,564 calves and breeders for a total of 5,675 cattle for the week. Killing cows and bulls, 5 to 6 higher. Again this week, Tuesday, better killing cows, 87 to 93. Thin cows bring 75 to 85. Weather bulls bring in 98 to 120. My advice, if you got any of these cows that need cold, be a good time to do that with what they're bringing instead of waiting until they fall $20 or under or more. Our 2 to 4 year old bred cows, $1,285 to $1,300, with a 5 to 8 year old bred cows, $1,200. Feeder steers, 5 to 8 higher again this week. Steer calves, 10 to 15 higher. Heifer calves, $8 to $20 a hundred higher. Excellent cattle, 3 to 350 steers, $230 to $249, 4 to 450, $210 to $233. 5 to 550 steered, 191 to 221, 6 to 650, 174 and a half to $2, 7 to 750, 163 and a half to 172 and a half, 8 to 850, 154 to 161 and a half, 9 to 950, 142 to 162, 1,050 pound steers, 144 to 151.85, 21 steers weighing 1062, bring 145.75. On that, we had a string of black steers weighing 475, bring 233, that's 1048 ahead. We had another string of blacks weighing 565 thin, bring 210, that's 1176. And another string of steers weighing 623, bring $2, that's 1246. On our heifers, 350 to 4 weight heifers, 185 to 215, 4 to 450, 180 to 193, 5 to 550, 170 to 182, 6 to 650, 153 to 163, 7 to 750, 145 to 154, 35, 8 to 850, 142 to 152 and a quarter, 9 to 950, 138 to 143. It pays to bring your cattle where we got 14 order buyers, plus farmers and ranchers buying cattle, and we work 100% for the seller, never lying to the buyer. This Tuesday, we will have a dispersal of 80 bred cows and pairs. He's retired. We got 40 other bred cows, and we got 6 Angus bulls ready for service, already fertility checked. Give us a call. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks, see their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
I am. Got to turn that little red button on there. Right now, 64 degrees, wind southeast, 6 miles an hour. Fire weather watch until 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. We've already touched on that a couple times. Today, sunny, high 67. South wind 7 to 13. Tonight, clear, low around 38. Tomorrow, breezy, 71. 10 to 20 mile an hour south winds in the morning, stepping her up a notch, hitting another gear going into overdrive right after lunch. Be anywhere from 20 to 30 with gusts up to 40 miles an hour tomorrow night. Breezy again. Just, it's going to be wind starting tomorrow afternoon. It's going to be windy as all get outs until the front moves in Wednesday afternoon late. We have a 20% chance of rain Wednesday with a high around 70. Wednesday night, 50% chance of rain, switching over to snow with a low around 23, and then the winds come out of the north like a roller coaster. Breezy, 42 degrees high for Thursday, and Friday, 55. So anyway, we're going to have one of – hey, it's better to have this storm in the middle of the week than on the weekends, but anyway, we got it going on. Well – let's get some stuff. Before I forget, I got to get on the text line here. Text line's been awful quiet out there today. Is nobody going to wish me a happy Valentine's Day? What's up with all you listeners out there today? But anyway, the Roger Mills County Spring Livestock Show is happening. It started yesterday. And the sheep started a while ago. And they got, then the goats will follow. So we got all that going on today. Tomorrow, I think the swine show was this morning already, but tomorrow, Tuesday, beef show at 8 a.m., followed by the dairy show. And then at 5 o'clock tomorrow evening, the bonus auction meal. And then at 6 o'clock, the bonus auction. So make sure you go to the Ag Pavilion, Cheyenne, Oklahoma, and support your 4-H and FFA. Them are our future ag people, so go support them. Also happening today in Arnett, their Arnett FFA and 4-H local livestock auction and dinner will be tonight at 6 o'clock. Dinner served at 6, and auction will follow. So be sure and support that. If anybody else in our listening area has got anything going on as far as stock shows, auctions, please text in to the KECO Ag text line at 580-225-9697, and I will announce it. Elk City is coming up next weekend, into the month, and March 1st. Not Elk City, but Beckham County's will be coming up. So we got all kinds of stuff going on. Tomorrow, Lacey Swope. Wednesday, I got Mike Schweitzer in here from Quartermaster Creek. And then Thursday, I got U.S. Representative Frank Lucas on. He's going to tell us briefly about some new agriculture stuff worked up in Washington. Can't wait to hear about that. And starting next Friday, if you guys were listening to Nathan this morning, he announced it. Next week is National FFA Week. And we're going to have a couple segments of all my shows starting this Friday, because I got so many that wanted to be on the Today in Ag show because it's so popular, and they know we got all kinds of agriculture people listening and they want to hear it. We will have each school, I don't have my list up here with me, but it's a bunch, two a day in here with their officers and finding out who these officers are and what they're doing in FFA starting this Friday. So it's going to be busy next week. So we got that going on. And Hobart, Saturday. Oh, my God. Hobart Stockyards had their monthly goat and sheep sale Saturday, and what a good one it was. Over 1,000 head went through the sale ring. On the sheep side, now, I'm not very good at this yet, but I'm learning to get. So if I say something wrong, you can send a text in laughing at me and says, you don't know goat poop about what you're talking about, but I'm going to try. On the sheep side, ewes weighing up to 74 pounds averaged $406.92. Weighing 75 pounds to 99 pounds, these sheep ewes averaged $180, with some of them going higher. 100 to 124 pounders on the ewe side was $223. On the rams, 0 to 74, averaged $422.94. And on the rams, averaging 75 to 149 pounds, $297.85 was their average price. The nanny goats, 0 to 74 pounds, averaged $324.61. Nanny goats, weighing 75 to 99 pounds averaged $270.41. And billy goats, 0 to 74 pounds, $379.96. And billy goats weighing 75 to 99 pounds average price was $270.62. So, there you go. And if you want to get all the prices I might not have talked about, if you'll get on Hobart Stockyards Facebook page, I'm sure it's been put on there by now, and you can go through there and look in any weight category. There's weathers, there's all kinds of stuff I didn't talk about because I just don't have time. So anyway, I just wanted to rattle off the ewes and the rams and the billy goats and the nannies. I get this talk down to you by the end of this next quarter. That way when I get on here, I can talk about them just as quick as I can talk about cattle. So they had a great sale. The Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction is happening right now. It's not too late to get over there and get you a burger and sit down and see what they're coming with. I will update you on it and the Elk City sale Friday, tomorrow. And then tomorrow, also tomorrow is Tuesday. That's Woodward Bull and Cow Sale. Wednesday will be Hobart Stockyards Cattle Sale. So it's going to be pretty busy around here for the deal. Well, here's some of the summaries from, I got enough time to do this. The cattle receipts from Texas last week, 8,885 head were sold last week, with 88% of them being feeder cattle, 8.5% being slaughtered cattle. Some of their prices, 345 average weight, was bringing up to 245 a pound. The 400-pounders were bringing up to $231 a pound. The 500-pounders were bringing up to $1.99 a pound. Some of these 500-pounders was even bringing up to $2.11. 600-pounders were bringing up to $1.97, and that was in Texas. In Oklahoma, it was good. Compared to last week, sales were light, but they're still dealing with some winter stuff, but it looked good. There was 20,271 head brought in for the receipts, and that's down just a little bit. And then we got 18,000 head of feeder cattle were done. That was 93%. The slaughter cattle was 5.4% of the sale barn receipts. Let's see here. 277-pound average was bringing up to 230 a pound. Some 300-pounders were bringing up to 249. 400-pounders bringing up to 233. And this is in Oklahoma. Here's some almost five weights bringing 235. Five weights bringing up to 221, and six weights right at $2. Looking good, guys. It's coming back. It's coming back. And like I told you earlier in the show, Dr. Peel from OSU predicted this. He said, you just wait. It's coming back. Everybody just needs to be cool. But anyway, cattle market looks good. Had a buddy sold 40 or 50 head Saturday or Friday at Elk City. He was happy. He said, my cattle did really good, and they were varied, some from 300 to 600 pounds. But anyway, he did good, and we got that going on. So, well, tomorrow is Lacey Day, and we will see what's happening in our weather. Maybe we can have an updated version because they've been backing off our moisture out here for the last 5 days. It started out 1.5 inches out here. We're down to 1/4 inch. Anyway, everybody have a great day and God bless. You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.